The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast. Alex Stone and Catherine Fry here to look ahead to Saturday's action. Three really, really good contests at Sandown to look forward to. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. We'll also have a brief chat about the jump season in general. And any other news that we happen upon. Morning, Catherine, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex.
I say morning, it's actually afternoon now, isn't it? Just. Everything okay with you?
Yeah, everything good. Yeah, just can't believe we're sitting here at the end of the jump season.
It does go quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, the flat season starting to get up and running now.
Yeah.
As it happens, you know, it's not sort of start-stop. It's sort of they merge into one another. And of course, Sandown hosting on Friday a good flat card. And an equally good jumps card on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the first time that they haven't, that the Saturday is not a split card, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Which is, I always used to go to that meeting.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I used to quite enjoy it was kind of like saying goodbye to one and, welcoming in the other, even though obviously you'd had the other for a while. But, yeah, no, that's fair enough. I mean, cracking card there today and cracking card there tomorrow, best of both codes, but, you know, all on the same day.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get started talking about the National Hunt, I just want to bring in something that I suppose is related to the National Hunt. Headline in the Racing Post, Weatherby surprise plan to stage flat fixtures. Nothing concrete as of yet, but... interesting. Weatherby are looking into hosting some flat fixtures. Obviously, I frequent Weatherby reasonably often. I wouldn't be averse to that. What do you think? I mean, I know Weatherby wouldn't be a track that you go to especially often. But is it something in tracks in general that you could see becoming a bit of a theme?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends, obviously, with the course characteristics, doesn't it, really? I mean, the idea of staging flat racing at Cheltenham, you know, gets, obviously, Cheltenham drains so well and gets pretty firm and up there in the summer, and obviously it is like a roller coaster. But I guess with Weatherby, it's pretty fair galloping track, really. So, I mean, it's almost, you know, when they trialled the run of hurdles at Chester. I mean, I just thought, how I mean, that's as stiff as anything.
Well, Chester's too tight,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I can totally see it. I'm not, you know, obviously, my I like both codes. Obviously, my heart, being from where I'm from, my heart is in jumping so much more. But I'm not a complete purist. I'm not one of these sort of people that doesn't look at racing for 6 months now. I do enjoy the flat, follow the flat. I'm not adverse to it. I personally don't have a problem with it. Haven't read the article yet this morning. Did see some stuff on Twitter about it last night. I'm not adverse to it at all.
I suppose you mentioned that Weatherby's flat and it's almost a bit like Foss Lass, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was all trying to rack around my head what course I would liken it to, but yeah, I honestly don't have a problem with it. It's good. Yeah, why not? Give it a go.
But at the same time, you said you wouldn't do flat racing at Cheltenham, and I'm fully in support of that, obviously. But
you
mentioned because it's very undulating, but then you look at places like Catterick, and they do both.
And Epsom, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the sort of problem is, I mean, I remember obviously in the hot summer last year, I walked Cheltenham around July time last year, and it was absolutely parched. And the reservoir was looking like a puddle. And I think there's something that they can only take water from that reservoir. So, you know, you have someone like that, you wouldn't be able to race. You know, there's no way you could have raced on that ground last year. It was like concrete. I couldn't believe what I was walking. So, you know, it's probably a lot to do with that. I mean, 2 weeks before the festival, I was up there thinking, wow, the ground's going to be heavy. And look how quick the ground ended up at the festival. Cheltenham's a strange place. It's kind of got its own, even the town's kind of got its own microclimate, to be honest with you.
So does Leeds, in fairness. It's always raining.
I don't know about that. I think I've always been, every time I've been in Leeds for the studio, I've always been sort of quite glad that it just seemed the air's fresher, because you're not sort of you're not in a base and the air.
Oh well, you can come up more often then, because when you're not here, it's pretty miserable.
So yeah, no, great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Okay. We said that we'd look back at the best of the National Hunt season. We're going to do that now. I don't know how to go about this. Should we go for favourite race? Have you got a favourite race of the season?
I've got kind of three favourite races of the season, and the first one is they're not in particular order. It's not like this is my favourite, and it's just three favourite races of the season. First one would be John Spirit winning the Paddy Power. I remember, obviously, he won the race at the showcase meeting at Cheltenham in October, and I just thought, there's the Paddy Power winner. And sometimes when things just fall right, everything, obviously, he got into the, escaped into the Paddy Power on a beautiful featherweight, it's almost like that. It's that feeling when you've spotted one and you're proved right. It doesn't happen very often.
No, it's a lovely feeling, especially when you spot them at, say, a double-figure price.
Yeah.
And you tell everybody about it. And then all of a sudden, whether it's backed or not, you know, it is a lovely feeling when you've plotted one for a long time. Or you see one, not even necessarily even in a good race, you'll see one and you'll go, I think if he sent that over X trip or at X course, I can see that winning. It is a really nice feeling, yeah.
It is, yeah. So just sort of purely from a personal point of view, really, as well, just kind of one of those races that kind of set the season up. My second would be when Hurricane Fly won the Ryanair Hurdle at Leopardstown in Christmas, because kind of everyone again had written him off, said he couldn't beat the young pretenders, and he kind of swept them to the side. And then third race involved, no surprise, obviously Hurricane Fly being my favourite horse, but would involve him again when he won the Irish Champion Hurdle, looked to be beaten by poor old Arconner, and then just went away again. And so, yeah, but those two from a sort of sentimental point of view. I will be in Punchestown next week, and I think we're pretty much going to see Hurricane Fly's last race. I think it will be his last race.
Yeah.
So it'd be an honour to see him bow out. He's, you know, just be thanks for the memories, Fly, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What about you, Alex? What would you go for?
I'll be honest, it's not something I've thought about. I was just thinking about it there. And I suppose because I haven't thought about it, the two that come to mind are probably the correct answers because they're the ones that stick in your memory. The Grand National is one.
Yeah.
And that's purely from a spectacle point of view.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I just thought it was a really, really good race this year.
You know what it reminded me of? The Nationals of old.
Yeah.
But without you know, obviously without the disasters.
Yeah, I just think everything worked.
Yeah, it did. Fair play to, you know, absolutely take my hat off to Aintree.
Yeah.
You know, everyone last year were like, oh, is this what we're going to see? Just a kind of, you know, almost turned it just into another marathon steeplechase. But it's not. The fences are still doing their job. And look, I loved the old Nationals. I think we said this at the time when we did the National pod. But you have to move with the times.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, I think the National. And the other one is sort of... from a financial point of view, more than anything else. No, but it was a race that I really enjoyed watching, and that's a bit more obscure. Wishful Thinking winning at Cheltenham at the end of January, purely because I had a pretty hefty bet on it, and it was 9-1. And it's just one of those races that I remember I had a day off work, sitting in my flat, and screaming at home, you know, when you really get into things. Yeah. So that was nice. I mean, my flatmate wasn't too happy. but no, it's just one of those things, you know, that the races that really stick with you,
yeah,
that you'll happily watch over and over again, getting the better of Double Ross on that occasion. So, yeah, that one's certainly more of a selfish pick, shall we say. And the Grand National is one for everyone, I'd say. But, no.
I think it's been a strange National Hunt season, though, Alex. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Why are you saying that?
Just... of the kind of there's this magnificent strength in depth in the kind of hurdling division, both in your established hurdlers and also in your young pretenders coming through, your novice hurdlers, but just in kind of in the staying chase division and the 2 mile chase division, there just doesn't seem to be now. We ended last season with Bobsworth, and obviously things haven't gone to plan with Bobsworth. The season long runs sort of completely gone. You know, when Corto and Demon retired, you had this kind of new guard waiting to come through. I think we just got to really hope that horses like Morning Assembly and things like, do you know what I mean, sort of step up and step forward. I know that they're talking about even going for the Punchestown Gold Cup with Morning Assembly. I know he's in the novice race as well, and I kind of hope they do, really. He's certainly a novice that I was very, very keen on all through this season. It's weird. You've got that huge depth on the hurdling scene, but the chase scene's looking a bit weak.
Well, I think it'd be remiss of us not to mention the Gold Cup, of course,
in
great races, because that finish was really, really good.
It was unbelievable.
And I'd like that. You know, I like the fact that you've got 6 horses with the chance jumping the last, rather than it being 2 absolute heavyweights. I think they both have their merits, if you like. Of course, the 2 mile division, Side of Grugy, who we'll talk about obviously in a bit, is a horse that I've been stoutly against throughout the season.
Yeah.
For no other reason that you just have those horses that you just can't really get on with. And that's nothing against the horse, and he was as impressive as ever in the Queen Mother, and was a worthy winner. But I know what you mean. It doesn't do much for me, either of those divisions this year.
Yeah.
But
it's just, I kind of, as much as the chat, as much, well, I stand there watching the champion chases, I was delighted for Side of Grugy and his connections. But I thought, that's not a champion chase. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad saying it. I mean, God, you'd give your right arm to have a horse running in the champion chase at the festival. So, you know, taking nothing away from the connections of those horses, all those horses, but it's just when you think of the champion chases of old, remember the direct route Flaucher Bouberal is Jean Bleu. It didn't, you know.
No, it's essentially, without wanting to sound disrespectful, sort of glorified handicappers that are coming up against Side Grugy.
No, I agree.
It has been all season, so. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anything else that you want to discuss of the National Hunt season? Jockeys, trainers, anything of note?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the start of the season, people were almost writing Paul Nicholls off, weren't they? You know, and sort of almost, you know, talking as if Henderson had already won the title, really. Mm. So, of course, it didn't surprise me, because I just, you know, there was still enough strength in depth that Ditchie, if he wanted to get the job done, fair enough, he didn't have the stars. But it didn't really surprise me. Obviously, you know, on some respects, Henderson's had, you know, an all right seat, but he's had an awful lot sort of kind of go wrong. And, I mean, what do you do with My Ten or Yours? What an enigma that horse is.
Just get it around Kempton again, I mean, on the flat. Seemed to enjoy that jumper's bumper, didn't he?
And I just... from the minute I saw him come second in the Supreme to Champagne Fever, I just thought, that horse doesn't really seem to like a fight.
He doesn't, though.
Oh my God, what, you know, he must just be, because, I mean, the way he travels, you're almost like, he's almost mouth-watering the way he travels, and he's such a good-looking horse. But I can't bring myself to back him.
No.
You know, because he's just the most bizarre horse, really. No, I think, to me, we've talked about the high points. To me, the absolute low point of the National Hunt season was losing Arconner.
No, of course.
That actually just kind of ruined, you know, Cheltenham, ruined and I can't. But you know, when we come to it next year and we're looking back at this season's races and we're trying to analyse form, I'm never going to be able to watch that champion hurdle again, because when I watched the replay, they hadn't cut the fall out. Mm. And that's something I never ever want to see again. So you have to feel for Barry Connell, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the horse was running for the, you know, for the JT and John Joe Bright fund, and also Barry Connell. I mean, he bought Mossy Joe. Mossy Joe seems to have sort of regressed again. I do believe he's got some kind of infection. I really hope the horse bounces back. And then, you know, just to add insult to injury, he sold the Grand National winner, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's like how much bad luck, really. But I really hope that things do pick up for Barry Connell. But yeah, I mean, R. Connell was probably the most devastating juvenile winner I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, agreed.
And that's how I'd like to remember him.
Yeah. So obviously a bad year for Barry Connell. I'd also say a bad year for Daryl Jacob. I'd say.
Oh yeah, I mean,
culminated in a series of horrible injuries.
Well, wasn't it?
Well, it just everything about it this season is.
Yeah.
I mean, because this time last year he'll have or whenever it was that it was announced that he'd be. Or at least that Ruby was leaving.
Yeah,
he'll have thought this is great.
I know,
and it just hasn't got to put. I mean, you could, on the other hand, say good year for Sam Tristan Davies. He's really sort of climbed the ranks, but at the same time, he's still being criticised for certain rides.
Yeah,
so I mean, for those two, I mean, you could say in certain respects, bad year for AP McCoy, champion jockey, yes, but you know, passed up on Jeski. It hasn't been
obviously
ideal.
Suspended for shut the front door, so couldn't ride that the other day.
And again, you, as a result of that, it's all sort of consequence, but a good year for Barry Geraghty.
Yes.
mainly because it's been a bad year. You know, it's...
Yeah.
That's the nature of the game, though, isn't it?
I think the thing with Daryl Jacob is what was quite sad to see is that you could... It did affect his riding. His confidence did seem to be knocked. I mean, the pure frustration. You know, people had a go at him about his reaction when he got beat in the attempts, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what? I can understand that. He's an emotional guy, and to have come that, you know, finally you think you're going to have this festival win at the top of your kind of awful season, and that I could understand it. Why he, you know, if you are emotional, that is going to happen.
Hmm.
And then to win on Lac Fontana, everyone's thinking, ah, brilliant. I mean, I was actually sitting up in the media centre watching that race, and you know, everyone was shouting for Daryl. And then the incident with Port Mellon was, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that on a race course.
Just bizarre, wasn't it?
He fired into the concrete as well. But just to show what these guys are made of, he actually, I think a policeman held him down, saw how bad the injury was, and he said, oh, I'm fine, and tried to stand up. And they were like, no, I don't think you are. You know, sort of held him down until the paramedics got to him. And, just hope things go better for him next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he seems like a genuine,
yes,
genuine fella. Yeah, so certainly. Right, we're going to have to move on.
Yeah, let's go for it.
To the three races that we're going to look at Sandown. Really good card on Saturday. We'll start with a 2:40. It's the Oaksy Chase, a listed contest over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We've got 6 runners down to go to post in this one. And likely to be battling it out at the head of affairs is Menora and Rolling Aces. Rolling Aces, who's pretty consistent for Paul Nicholls. Menora, who, if putting his best foot forward, would surely trounce these, but... It's a big if, isn't it?
It is a big if, and there's a horse in here that was actually one of my eye catchers from the festival, and that is, I mean, he's no stranger to anyone, Humpball.
I've heard of him, yep.
his fourth in the Ryanair. Now, that to me was the most encouraging I've seen from Humpball for a long time, and all right, you can people grab the Ryanair. The Ryanair this year was certainly not a vintage one. Don't know if we've ever seen a vintage one, but you know, it probably wasn't. It's probably Grade One in name only.
Hmm.
Let's take nothing away from the winner, but what I liked about it was he seemed to jump okay. He seemed to, I think, sort of, you know, once his chance had gone, he wasn't knocked around, but. I just ran a very nice race to finish fourth, and I thought, ah, there's something more, you know, there's a little bit more to come here with Humpball. I was really hoping that he would go on to Aintree and contest a 2-mile 5 contest. I was like, when I heard he was going to Grand National, I was like, oh no, you know, after everything this horse has been through, just give him a chance. He could have won. You know, one of those, we were talking about the lack of strength in the chasing division, one of those weak 2 mile five contests at Aintree.
Yeah.
You know, I personally, look, he's not my horse, they're entitled to do whatever they want with him. I'd have stuck him in there. He's a pound higher at the moment from when he was fourth in the Ryanair. He's on 155. He's actually on the same mark as his last win. He's been dropped £3 for the tailed off effort in the National. And I just, you know, he had a few months off when he came back from the US. Obviously, things just, I mean, he, poor old Humble, he had that disastrous spell in the US. He sort of, he was subject of, you know, the whole paint debacle at Cheltenham, and you know, he's had a pretty torrid time, and I don't know. Hopefully, the National hasn't taken much off of him. I think he wasn't sort of, he's pretty much looked after once his chance had gone. But fair play to him for actually jumping the fences and getting round. I can actually, if you took him on the pick of his best form, he could win this. You know, all due respect to Minora, but. Oh, he's such an oddball, isn't he? Mm. You never know which Minora is going to show up. Rolling Aces again. He won a Grade 2 at Down Royal in November. He is pretty much a consistent performer, and obviously second to Boston Bob again in a weak Grade 1 at Aintree. That was a great performance. Could fully see him taking something like this, but I think Humpball's chance has come. It's just, and I honestly think that's probably what they've been aiming for all along. So purely on that basis, and probably a little bit of hope and wanting to see that the horse really deserves it, but on form as well, then he would be my selection.
Okay, Humpball the pick there. In the Oaksy Chase, next up is the 3:15. It's the Celebration Chase, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. 8 runners down to go to post. I, for one, will be hoping that all 8 stay in, because I think you could nick a bit of each way value here. We've got prices for this one. Cider Grugy, 3-1 on. Claret Cloak and Special Tiara at 8s. 14s for French Opera and Pepite Rose. 25s or bigger the rest. A horse that we touched on earlier. A horse that I think neither of us seem particularly enamoured with, but there's no doubt in his credentials, and this should be his race to take, shouldn't it?
Should be. I mean, imagine if he hadn't run in this. We just talked quite a lot about weak Grade Ones there. What would this have been? It would have been pretty desperate. And again, I'm not meaning to be rude to the horses that are involved. Yeah, I mean. Last year you saw Sprinter do Cheltenham, Aintree and Punchestown. I think as much as Sada Grugy probably hated the track at Cheltenham, and you know, it's really not his place, I don't think he had that much of a hard time. He was given a beautiful ride. He was just asked to go clear, and he went clear, really. Obviously, Cheltenham now, 6 weeks ago, I think he's had sort of plenty of time to get over that. He has been on the go a long time, but again, you're talking about, this should be a walk in the park for him, shouldn't it? You know, right-handed track and grounds, maybe, you know, it's good ground. When he won at Cheltenham, I know he does like to sort of get his toe in a little bit, but he's won on you know, just looking back at his form here, you can count 5 occasions where he's won on good. That's not going to inconvenience him too much. Below that, where do you even to come? You know, a year ago, I would have said Special Tiara, but things just seem to not be quite right there. Obviously, 6 to Sire de Grugy at Cheltenham. When he won at Aintree last year, you almost thought, oh yeah, could see him maybe, you know, playing a part in something like the Queen Mother, but things just maybe haven't quite gone to plan for Special Tiara this season.
I think I can still make a case for Special Tiara here. I think
he'll finish second.
Yeah, just on the basis that I was there at Aintree when he did win, and
yeah,
it was really taking. And then since then, I don't think he wants soft ground.
Soft ground.
And that's what he's encountered. And when he hasn't encountered that, it's been at Cheltenham. And I don't think Cheltenham especially suits
no,
either.
So
I think, I mean, that's given the horse, what, 5 excuses on his 5 runs since that Aintree win. You know, that is that's saying a lot. But I just think it's not a great race. I mean, Claret Cloak is probably the one that will finish second or third.
But I mean, he's I don't want to be rude and call him a dodgepot.
No, he's not a horse that you could put maximum faith in.
No, he's again, he must just be so frustrating. The talent's there, and just things just seem to go a little bit wrong. Cortostone, well, that's just any semblance of his old self seems to have really gone. Obviously, unseated in the national. I think you're looking at Sire de Grigy to win Special Tiara to come second, purely basing my recollections of Special Tiara from last season, not on anything he's shown me this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And if I was to be tempted into backing Sire de Grigy anywhere, it would be Sandown. So
yeah.
But yeah, so what were we saying then? A forecast or?
Yeah, I think obviously I'm not going to sit here and tip up a favourite. So if. Yeah, if you like a forecast bet, I'd be with Sire de Grigy Special Tiara, yeah.
Okay. Final race that we'll look at is the 3.50 from Sandown. It is the Bet365 Gold Cup Chase, a Grade 3 handicap. Over 3 miles, 5.5 furlongs, 20 runners down to go to post for this. Looks very, very open indeed. We've got some betting up for this one as well. If my computer will load. Here we go. 7-1 for Same Difference. 8-1 Ardkilly Witness. 10s for Burton Port, Berry Parade and Roalco Defarge. 11s God's Me Judge. 12s or bigger the rest. Very, very open look to this. As you'd expect. Where should we start here?
Do you know what, Alex? I had one horse for this that I was thinking, oh yeah, I can't wait to do the pod. I'm really, 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 really sweet on this horse. This morning, looking on declaration time, wasn't declared that Chartreau.
I do like that horse as well.
Yeah, I do. And just his run back, you know, back to form last time at Sandown, I thought, well, okay, had a look, you know, he was on my mind for this race. And yeah, so there we go. Obviously, again, don't mean to be rude, but obviously when this race was the Whitbread and the calibre of horses that, you look back to when Desert Orchid won this race and the calibre of horses that were running in behind him. We have seen over recent seasons that it's not the race of old, but this is what we've got, and it is a very, very, very open race at all. Alex, this is very, very tough. Obviously, ones to give notable mentions to. I know there's been, Same Difference was something of a gamble in the week. Second last year, obviously gave Quentin Collonge £9, didn't he? So I can see why. Obviously the 2013 Kim Muir winner will meet the 2014 Kim Muir winner in this Spring Heeled. So he won that off 140. He's up to 149. He is your typical type for this kind of staying handicap. He was second in the Munster National, so could. I mean, Jim Colotti, he sort of, we talk about strange things that have happened in the National Hunt season, the kind of trainer that really showed nothing all season. And then, you know, has a festival and everyone thinks, God, where did that come from? And then wins the Gold Cup.
Of course.
Yeah, so he's definitely on my short list. I think dear old Restless Harry, I mean, there were signs of life returning to his form this season. 12th at the festival in that kind of very useful way, race now with Holywell and Mafalu. Obviously, the form of that race is working out sort of pretty good. I think Fruity O'Rooney finished somewhere around Restless Harry in that, and obviously he's come out and won. There's been an awful lot of winners come out of that race. Hadrian's Approach, just worry about his jumping. Fifth in this race last year, but I know we're not seeing him on the deck as much as we used to, but he can still whack them. Horse that interests me a little bit, Alex, even though, I mean, this season has kind of been a little bit of a disaster, you would say, would be Opening Batsman. Mm-hmm. He's got the first time blinkers on, and I think if he came anywhere back to his Racing Plus Chase, you know, victory of 2013, you would have to give him a squeak. Ground will suit, and he's on a mark of 140, which he won that Kempton race off. I'm finding it very, very hard to put up a confidence selection here. But I would probably be looking at Spring Heels to win, and opening purely just tentative on opening batsman, because Harry Fry works wonders with his horses. If there's something wrong with opening batsman, which who knows I was trying to have a quick Google around there before we came on, just to see if there were anything I could find out about this horse. But Harry Fry can get one right, and I think that if he's anything back to his old self, you would have to give him a squeak in this race. Where are you going?
Well, first I'll just say Spring Heeled is 12-1.
Okay.
And opening batsman the outside of the field at 33s.
Yeah.
So, I just think there's a lot of horses here that have had hard seasons.
Yep.
You're trying to look for something fresh, and I couldn't find anything. So, if I was forced to go for something, I'd go for something that is at least used to hard campaigns, and that's Burton Port. And
yeah.
I can only apologise to podcasters for what I'm about to say, because I'd given up on this horse. But talking to AP McCoy a few weeks back, he said that he rode him far more aggressively at Newbury the time before last. That was first time cheek pieces, and it was almost convincing the horse that, come on, you can do this. Rather than just letting the race develop around him, he was saying, let's just go, let's see what happens. And that was a much better run. I think it would be better for the better ground. And he is coming here reasonably fresh. He only got to the second in the national. So if you see
that angle, I think...
I just think it's
good for his tongue, didn't he?
Yes. It's purely just that there's so many negatives that you can make for others.
And didn't he do something to himself at the start of the national as well? I think I saw something on Twitter that he'd either bitten through his tongue again, or so, even though I believe it was tied in the national. But there's a picture of him at the start of the national with blood in his mouth.
Oh,
again.
I didn't know that.
I just saw it on Twitter, and someone sort of has Burton Port done it again? I mean, that sort of was complete. I know Jonjo confirmed after the Newbury race that he had bitten his tongue, because it was looked a nasty bleed, didn't it? I thought at first he'd broken a blood vessel. That is totally unconfirmed, but just going on the gospel that is Twitter. I can completely see that, Alex. And I guess if we're talking about Burton Port, the bottom one.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Summary justice has to enter calculations purely because it beats Burton Port on that occasion. But I think Burton Port will be better suited to this ground.
Yeah, and Summary Justice was fourth in the Midlands National. So again, you're talking about a horse that's used to sort of these marathon.
Not flashy, but
no,
gets the job done.
Gets the job done. Mm. Yeah, which I mean, it's kind of this race without, you could almost frame it as a bit of a rogue's gallery, really.
Yeah.
Without being, I love handicaps. But it's just a contest like this. I just remember the old days, and look, they're gone. You can't dwell on those too much. But yeah, what price is Summary Justice there?
Summary Justice is 20s.
Yeah, so
fair enough. Yeah,
yeah. I just think for me, if I was going to be betting in this race, then it would be Spring Heeled and opening batsman. But again, you have to respect same difference.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay then, Catherine, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Lovely chatting to you. Best of luck with all those selections.
Thank
and we'll
you.
Catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.